Well, he said, in that case I suppose it's about time we considered breaking up. It's coming up on lunch, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm hungry. Is there anything else we need to look at before we eat?
Zephyr reminded me of several items this morning, Your Majesty,
Grey Harbor replied with a slight smile. Geoffrey Abbott was the First Counselor's personal secretary, and his ability to manage Grey Harbor's schedule was legendary.
Despite his insistence, I think most of them can probably wait until after lunch,
the Earl continued.
He did, however, point out that the group of four ought to be getting their copies of the writs in the next 5 day or so.
One or two faces tightened at the reminder. Caleb's wasn't one of them.
He's right, the king agreed, and I wish I could be a fly on the wall when Clinton and Trenair open them.
His smile was thinner and much colder than Grey Harbor's had been.
I don't imagine they'll be particularly pleased, especially not with your personal log for the fire, Michael.
Several of the other men sitting around the table smiled back at him. Some of their expressions were even more kraken-like than his own, Merlin noted.
I don't imagine they've been particularly pleased about anything that's happened in the past few months, Your Majesty, Grey Harbor agreed. Frankly, I can't think of any message you could have sent them that could possibly have changed that.
Oh, I don't know, Regis.
Admiral Brian Lockisland was the commander of the Royal Carisian Navy. He was also one of Caleb's cousins.
I imagine that if we were to send them a mass suicide note, that would probably cheer them up immensely.
This time there were a few outright chuckles, and Caleb shook his head admonishingly at Lockisland.
You're a bluff, unimaginative sailor, Brian. Remarks like that demonstrate exactly why it's such a good idea for us to keep you as far away as possible from the diplomatic correspondence.
Amen to that.
Lockisland's pious tone was at least 8/10 sincere, Merlin judged.
Speaking of bluff, unimaginative sailors,
Alvino Powelson said,
I have to say, although I'd really rather not bring this up, that your current plans for expanding the Navy worry me, Brown.
Lockisland looked at the other man and cocked his head. Alvino Powelson was also Baron Ironhill and Keeper of the Purse. That made him, effectively, the treasurer of the Kingdom of Karras.
I assume that what you mean is that figuring out how to pay for the expansion worries you,
the Admiral said after a moment.
On the other hand, what's likely to happen if we don't continue the expansion worries me a lot more.
I'm not trying to suggest it isn't necessary, Brian,
Ironhill replied mildly. As the fellow who's supposed to come up with a way to finance it, however, it does leave me with some interesting difficulty, shall we say?
Let Narman pay for it, Lockisland suggested. That fat little bugger's got plenty tucked away in his treasury, and he's got damn all for a navy at the moment. We're already camped in his front yard, and he can't be any too happy about the way we've sewed Eraser Bay shut like a sack. So why don't I just make his day complete by taking a couple of squadrons in close and sending a few marines ashore to deliver a polite request from His Majesty here that he finance our modest efforts before we burn his entire miserable waterfront around his ears?
Tempting, Caleb said. Very tempting. I'm not sure it's a very practical solution, though.
Why not?
Lockisland turned back to the king.
We won. He lost. Well, he will lose, whenever we finally get around to actually kicking his fat ass off the throne, and he knows it.
No doubt, Caleb agreed. Assuming we add Emerald to the kingdom, however, we're going to have to figure out how to pay for its administration. Looting its treasury doesn't strike me as a particularly good way to get started. Besides, it would be a one-time sort of thing, and just expanding the navy isn't going to solve our problems, Brian. Somehow we've got to pay for maintaining it, too. With the church openly against us, we don't dare lay up large numbers of ships. We'll need them in active commission, and that means we'll have a heavy, ongoing commitment on the treasury. We couldn't rely on regular windfalls the size of Narman's treasury even if we wanted to, so we're going to have to figure out a long-term way to pay for it out of our own ongoing revenue stream.
Lockisland's eyebrows rose as he gave his young monarch a look of respect. Ironhill, on the other hand, positively beamed, as did Grey Harbor, and Merlin nodded mentally in satisfaction as well. All too many rulers twice Caleb's age would have settled for whatever got them the ships they needed in the shortest possible time and let the future take care of itself.
"Actually, Your Majesty," another of the men seated at the table said, "I think paying for the Navy isn't going to be quite as difficult as it might first appear. Not, at least, as long as we're not trying to raise mainland-sized armies at the same time."